Hello guys, welcome to the Blackspin Global Podcast. I am Lucy.
And I'm Eugene.
And I am waved and welcome to day six at the US Open. Before we start, guys, if you don't follow me on Twitter, I have been drinking some honey juices.
Some.
What's three honey juices? Is it not some?
Some saying. Say the
exactly.
Say the number.
I said some.
Say the number.
Why are you being a snitch for? Why can you not be... Don't you want to see a black woman happy?
Listen, relax.
And celebrate?
Relax.
I don't understand. Anyways, guys, it's been a long day. And I was like, you know what? To get through the pain, I'm going to drink. Unfortunately, I forgot that I have a job to do, which is to give you this damn pod. So, Eugene will be leading the pod.
Hello.
I am here with some coffee. And... yeah, welcome to day six.
Honestly, do you know what? We're gonna switch it up. So
okay, cool.
Usually we start with order of play.
Okay, wait, are you not gonna introduce nothing? You see, even I'm waved, and I still know we have to do that.
No. But I'm saying, what we're gonna do, we're gonna go backwards. So we're gonna start with the last match of the day.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yes.
This is a bit of a celebration.
This is big. Yeah,
I say bit. It is a celebration.
It is a celebration.
So
you know what this is? It's a celebration.
So yeah, Taylor Townsend, doubles world number one. Mm-hmm. Another upset. So previous round it was Yelena Ostapenko. Today or tonight even, fifth seed or world number five, Mira Andreeva. Straight sets, Lucy.
And I know you guys dealt with it.
Incredible. It was a 7-5, 6-2 victory.
Yeah.
On Arthur Ashe, last night session. Shouts out to Novak Djokovic. I know Lucy feels otherwise, but his match went on, I think it was a four-setter against Nori.
I told you it was going to be long.
So yeah, that kind of did take up a bit of time, but Taylor Townsend, man, like unbelievable. Two sets to love down in that first set. Levels up at 2-2. Then they both hold serve until, 6-5. And then... I want to say Townsend took over, but she kind of did.
No. She did. She dominated the match. She played... like, the tennis was actually so good.
Man.
Like, I didn't doubt that she would play her best. I just thought that the nerves would last longer than it did, because the nerves only started the first game of the first two sets, which is, you know, pretty impressive, because right after that, she just got into it. She got broken very early and she just
bounced back.
But she was hitting some crazy shots. And I told you, her first ever match, she played so well.
Against Rusic, Antonia Rusic.
She played so well. So honestly speaking, I'm so happy for her. I think for me, what I love the most is the way the crowd was just going.
Man.
So, like, hearing Arthur Ashe say it, obviously it wasn't full, but there was actually a lot.
That's what I was going to say. I was actually worried, thinking, I hope people stay, because it was late.
Yeah. And to be fair, for me, I feel like there was more people than I expected.
Definitely.
Especially considering that it was a Djokovic match that was on before. But the crowd were rooting for her like crazy.
Man.
Which I knew would definitely be an advantage for her, especially that Andreeva is someone who doesn't know how to handle
a
crowd.
She kind of struggles with the crowd. When the crowd are against her, definitely.
But I feel like she handled it pretty well today. Because I feel like what frustrated her wasn't necessarily the crowd. It was more how she was playing and being unable to respond to what Taylor Townsend was giving her.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
And like... okay.
Sorry, guys. We had
a bit of a blooper.
Another blooper again.
The camera. Oh. It's the wind. We're blaming the wind this time.
It's blaming the wind. Well, Eugene tried to blame
No, we're not doing that, Lucy. We're not doing that.
Okay.
But I just want to kind of put the win into context as well, because obviously Townsend is the doubles world number one, but her singles ranking, she's outside the top 100. So she's currently 139th in the world.
Yeah.
Like, so again, to be beating the world number five, like, pretty like comprehensively, it just speaks to her talent. Like, and we know obviously she's an immensely talented player, like former junior singles number one even. So Yeah, and obviously we've been kind of speaking about Taylor for a long time, like obviously since the platform, we formed the platform. So we know her game and like, you know, her style, fantastic, double, accomplished doubles player, brilliant singles player too, has had good runs like at Grand Slams. I think the last time she made the fourth round at the US Open was 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's gone and done that again this year. So we it's in her to like basically cause trouble. I say cause trouble. You know, be a problem to these like established singles players, like at the big events, and it's just so good to see it happening in New York at her home Grand Slam.
Mm-hmm.
So she literally came to press pretty much straight after. Well,
yeah,
pretty quickly, yeah, like yeah. after getting off court, because I think it's because it's so late, which makes sense. But again, the press conference was pretty full. Like there were a lot of journalists in there, and rightly so. And yeah, of course, we all know Taylor speaks really well, contrary to what Yelena wants to put anyway. But the question I liked was from Ben Rothenberg, who basically said, oh, like, basically the last, well, things have changed in terms of, like, new audiences or new people kind of coming into, like, knowing who Taylor is for the first time off the back of the Ostapenko thing.
Yeah.
And he just basically said, like, how have you found that in terms of, like, her social media following as well? That's shot up. Like,
yeah.
Apparently she's had the biggest spike.
Yeah, she had.
Out of all the players in the event.
Yeah.
And, yeah, this is what she said.
That's a really interesting question. I never thought about it that way, but you're very right. Like, this is some people's first time interacting and, like, finding out who Taylor Townsend is, right? It's a lot of familiar faces in here, but, you know, there are a lot of people who may not have had any idea who I was. And so that's a great point. You know, people being able to see me now, but then being able to go back into history or my history and follow my journey and figure out how has she gotten here? You know, I think that that's super cool. And that's one of the things that people are resonating with. But, you know, it's been amazing. You know, I've even before all this stuff happened, prior to the tournament starting, I did my pop-up shop and I hosted a couple of events during fan week after the mixed doubles. And I just said, I was like, you know, it's not often that you get a chance to be up close and personal with people that have been following you since you were a junior. And I just have gotten so much love and support on like a personal level from fans and just people who are really supporting and rocking with me. And I took that and I'm just like, wow, like, this is amazing. And so, you know, it can be a lot at times, but the great thing is a lot of this stuff has been happening like on social media. So it is a kind of a distance away from it as well. But I'm embracing it. I'm embracing it. I'm enjoying it. And like I said, it's cool because I'm just showing up as myself, so I don't have to be anything else but me. And, you know, if you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't, whatever. But, you know, I think that that's the cool thing because I'm just truly showing up as myself. And I think people see that and it's cool that they like what they see. I think I'm pretty cool. I think I'm funny. So I think that's all that matters. So yeah, I mean, it's cool, but I'm enjoying the journey. I'm enjoying the ride and you know, it's not over yet. I've got doubles tomorrow. So I'll see you guys tomorrow.
So yeah, that was Taylor. Like she's just such a great personality, man. And like, I feel like she's going to get a lot of fans or win a lot of fans after this tournament. But like those fans, they're going to stay and like, you know, they're going to keep an eye on her like throughout, you know, her career. And I love that for her because like, she's just so good for the sport, man. Like both singles and doubles. Like it's just amazing to see what she's been doing. So yeah, more power to Taylor Townsend.
For sure.
Her next opponent, Barbora Krejcikova. You've said this before. Who did Krejcikova play? Is it first round? Yeah, first round. Who did Krejcikova play first round, Lucy? Can you remember?
Venus?
Victoria.
Victoria
Mboko. I like this matchup for Taylor.
You and liking the
and
matchup.
I'm going to be real with you. Today, I did think I was worried for her because Andreeva is serious. Like, I think of Andreeva as a very talented player. Like I speak quite highly of her. Like
100%.
She's literally got everything. Very complete for someone so young.
Yeah.
But yeah, today Taylor, she shocked me.
I think today just shows how much like Taylor's more experienced, and she just need, Andreeva just needs that time.
No, definitely.
Which is what I've been saying for so long. And so you add experience and you add the way Taylor was winning, it was, you know, it made sense for her to win in straight sets and the way that she did it. So yeah, but Andreeva's time will come, but credit to Taylor, she did her job.
So yeah, that the next match, like we said, is going to be against Krejcikova on Sunday. They have played each other once before. Krejcikova did win, but it was a free setter. So I think that was back in like 2017, so a while ago.
Mm.
No, don't do it. Don't do it.
Switch it off there.
Don't do it. It's going to happen, isn't it?
I don't. Let's keep going. Let's see.
So. Yeah, we look forward to that match because, again, she wins that, she's through to the quarterfinals. And that'll be her first Grand Slam quarterfinal in singles, like, of her career.
Yeah.
And I feel like the time's right as well. Like, I just feel like things are happening.
True.
Like, this year, like, and it just feels right. So, keep going, Taylor, man. We love that for
real.
You. Next, where are we going? We have to start now with defeats, unfortunately, guys. We had 3 defeats today.
Today, the day...
All upset.
The way the day started is why I am in this condition. Let's just say how it is, bro. And thank God Taylor won, because then...
Man, whew, can you imagine?
It would have been 5 honey deuces.
Man, oh man, oh man. Let's go in order now then. So let's go Ben Shelton.
No, Paolini.
Okay, let's go Jasmine Paolini. So yeah, Jasmine Paolini, she lost out to Marketa Vondrousova. That match was played on Grandstand, and it was tough. First set, I was there for most of it, all of it really. I'm gonna say, and guys, I messed up. So I did go to Paolini's press after, but it was in room 2.
They still haven't uploaded
it. It's not up there, Lucy. Oh, so wow. I didn't record it on my phone because usually it's recorded, but they haven't. For some reason, they've not published it on the website. I say website, the
back end.
Yeah, the US Open media back end site. So I'll just basically repeat what she said in press from what I can remember. But just for the match, the first set, she was the better player, like the more aggressive player. She had 2 break points. Didn't give Vondrousova any break point looks, but then in the tie break, Vondrousova just was more solid.
Mm.
And I was saying this to Lucy as well, and like another journalist that I was sat next to during the match, like watching Paolini, like I'm always just impressed and like kind of, I just admire her, the way she goes about playing matches, because she kind of she stays true to like her identity. Like she's an aggressive player. Like she doesn't switch up or like become passive when she's, you know, down or, you know, on the verge or on the brink of, you know, losing a set or a match. Like she'll stay true to her identity, keep playing aggressively. But yeah, unfortunately today it just wasn't working for her in that second set. Like she kind of fell away. And she did say in press afterwards that, like, after making a solid start, the second set she got a bit nervous, which I thought was like very honest of her to say that, because you kind of saw that or you sensed it, but I don't know. I've watched enough Paolini matches to kind of not expect, but I guess it is expect her to kind of like figure out a way to come through. Mm. But yeah, today just it wasn't to be, unfortunately. So, and yeah, she did give credit to Vondrousova. Obviously, Vondrousova is a Wimbledon champion. Like she's won a Grand Slam. Mm. Been a top 10 player. Like, so like she's no scrub basically, but. Of course, Paolini, she'll be disappointed with that because it's an upset. You know, she's a top, I think she was the 7th seed. So expected to make quarterfinals. Obviously, losing in the 3rd round isn't ideal, but I mean, I'm not looking at that and thinking, man, like what's going on, basically, because that's a tough draw, like to get Vondrousova in the 3rd round.
Yeah.
So now Paolini's attention's just turned to doubles with Sara Arni.
Oh yeah, that's true. She's still playing doubles, yeah.
So yeah, we wish them the best in the doubles draw.
Mm-hmm. Wait, what did she say in press?
Yeah, I said.
Oh,
Lucy, stay with me, man. Stay with me, man. Guys.
Sorry.
Guys.
Next match, Ben Shelton.
And this is the thing, you've got to be on here because I wasn't.
Yes, I was there and I'll remember everything.
Please.
So, the Ben Shelton match, which I told you that was going to be a tough match, and you told me, nah, Ben got this in straight sets. It was a very good match, honestly speaking.
Let's start with the score first. 6-3, 3-6, 6-4. 6-4, and there was a retirement.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, there was a retirement. Shelton had a shoulder injury. This is the first ever time that he retired.
That's crazy.
In his career. And even that, his dad was the one forcing that, telling him, bro,
wrap it up.
Don't do much, just retire. And you can tell that this is something that he did not want to do at all, which he ended up even being very emotional about and left. As he was leaving the court, he was emotional. But the match was really great, very intense. Both of them were giving their all. It's interesting because when the first set was done, he did it. It was 6-2, right? It was 6-3.
6-3.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, yeah, breezing through, but it was still tricky. And then when I checked properly the stats, I saw 71% first set win. I was like, huh. So what's going on with the serves? And as we know, that's one of like his biggest weapon. So as the match was going, and then when he was feeling the pain in his shoulders, because initially I thought, when I saw that, I was like, maybe he saved his energy, because that's something that Shelton has always said. He said that, you know, there's times where he doesn't want to do too much with the serves, or even when he's doing a lot with like his shots and everything, like he doesn't want to do the most and stuff. So I thought it was one of those ones. So then when the shoulder started hurting, I was like, oh, maybe that's why he did it.
It was the left shoulder.
Yeah, it was a left. Yeah, so, and he did. Arm. Yeah, and there was a video of him like hitting like a strong forehand, and you can see like it was weird. It's like it popped or something, and it was just like. It was like, ah, or something or whatever. But even before that, I thought, because basically, my point is, I thought it was a thing of he felt a little bit of something before the match.
Okay.
Mainly because of how the first set was going.
Yeah.
But it looks like it wasn't really the case. But credit to Mannarino. In all honesty, I know it's hard to know when someone has retired, like who's going to, how the match would have went. But guys, I'm telling you, it wouldn't be far-fetched if Mannarino won the match. He is, and I know when you call someone a pusher, people see it.
Yeah, I don't know. But when you say that, he's a pusher.
No, but I said a good pusher.
I know, but still.
Because he was, me personally, I don't think it's a bad thing to be a pusher.
I just don't know if that's not, I don't think players appreciate that.
But there are some, maybe there's another term we need to use. But for me, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. But someone like Mannarino, it will make sense anyways. He's 37. For what reason does he need to be doing more than that? At 37, I will be the best pusher in like on on the, like literally on tour, if we're being honest. But in a way, he was doing it in a way of like, it will make him tired.
Yeah, he's crafty.
And he did it exactly. Yeah, and that's the thing with Mannarino. You never know what he pulls out of his bag. Mm. And that's why I knew he was going to be a problem. He was hitting some really nice shot, and he handled the crowd really well. It's not that easy. Shelton being American, but Shelton was Shelton was finding it really difficult. Like he did not know what to do. Even though like it was very up and down. The match was extremely up and down. But when the shoulder was starting to hurt, he couldn't continue. And Mannarino obviously took advantage of it. Like he was just like, all right, I'm gonna aim. He was aiming for that shoulder. He was aiming for shots where he had to do a lot more, and that's why I think he started serving higher and better throughout the match. But the thing is, it was putting a lot of pressure on his shoulder. But during his press, Shelton said, I'm not buying it though. Not in a bad way. But Shelton said that he didn't know when the pain started or like how it started. Like he just said like, listen, this is just a pain I never felt before.
It came out of nowhere.
And I just, yeah, came out of nowhere. I'm not sure if I buy it.
Wow.
I'm not sure if I buy it in a way of like, I think Shelton is someone where that really holds his cards to his heart. Like he doesn't give a lot. And it's also mainly because, I don't know if I should say this, but fuck it, guys. Wimbledon last year, remember he was playing a lot of long matches. And he was out here telling us, guys, I feel great. I feel fantastic. Guys, Shelton was not feeling great and fantastic. He was mash up. Like, his body was actually mash up. But he was not telling people that because he knows his opponent's going to be watching the press. He knows his team
I think that's just him being a competitor. Like, yeah.
Exactly. But that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, though. Mm. I'm just saying that that's what it is. I'm not saying it's a bad thing at all. I'm not calling him a liar. I'm not saying he should be saying the truth. He has every right to literally lie to us and say, I have not, because he wouldn't even tell us if he would go for a scan. He won't give us anything about the injury. And he doesn't, I don't know if I agree with that.
Doesn't need to.
I don't think I agree with that. I think I'm 50-50 on that. I mean, he doesn't have to, but I think considering the level of a player that he is and the level of the tournament that he is, I do feel like all players, if you're being asked, you know, unless you it's a thing where you don't want to say it because you're not sure yet. If that's the case, of course, fine. Yeah, you're not going to come me blabbering out. But I think that's why he wasn't given a lot. I think it's a thing of like he wasn't sure yet, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing,
by the way, guys.
I'm really not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just sharing what I think, but based on previous things that's happened before, he's someone where when his body's not right, when he's not injured, I believe he's someone where he's like he's making it seem like it's smaller than it is, which is so smart. Keep doing that. Do you get what I mean? But it was very sad seeing him retire. Like, my mouth literally dropped. When I saw him packing his stuff, I was like,
tough, yeah.
Literally, my mouth was like, because he never done it. He's literally never done it. That shows you how much he's how much of a fire he is. But at least he defended his points. We know that if it wasn't for the injury, Shelton would have been second week.
Like, he's making a run, definitely.
He would have made a run. He was looking healthy. He was looking great. And he knows it himself. And yeah, either way, and it was a good match. That's the thing. Even despite what happened.
That's what
it was a good match. Yeah, it was a good match. And credit to Madarena as well. Like, I'm telling you, it wouldn't be far-fetched if someone said, yeah, Madarena would have won that match. I won't argue with them because that's how much he was also good in a match. Like, it was good quality from both of them.
I don't know about that. I think if Shelton's feeling physically right, he's beating Madarena. He's a better player.
I swear, the head-to-head, Manorino's leading.
Don't know, but
Manorino's leading the head-to-head. This is what I'm saying.
He beat him in Toronto, like, comprehensively.
I'm
going by that and just how he's improved as a player, like, since, I think, 2024 that they played at the Australian Open. That was the last Grand Slam they played each other at. And Ben Shelton is a much better player than he was literally a year ago. So... Mm. Yeah, I feel it for him because it's tough to go out third round when, like, not so much expectations from outside. I think he puts a lot of expectations on himself in terms of kind of, you know, wanting to go deep at these events.
For sure. This is the American, last Grand Slam
of the year, exactly.
He was a lot of the people's favorite. He goes, I think it's like the first time in like what? I don't know how long he's not gone this deep in a Grand Slam.
I don't know, but yeah, that's
do you get what
I
mean?
Yeah,
is that as well?
Point, yeah.
He goes deep in all Grand Slams, and this is your home slam.
Guaranteed, like,
quarterfinals. And you had a great summer. You just won your first 1,000 title. So I get why he was so emotional and he had all of those things. Mm-hmm. But again, a lot of class and education from our black players. He did, you know, someone did. Can't remember which journalist asked. I believe it was David Law. Who asks about, like, you know, how he's feeling about this, like, defeat, like, he's feeling, like, extremely low about it and stuff. And this is what Shelton actually had to say.
Yeah, I mean, I got a lot to be grateful for. Been pretty fortunate in my life. Blessings, talents, a lot of things God's given me. And... you know, a small setback like this, yeah, it hurts. Yeah, I was playing really well. I was in form, a lot of confidence, just so many things to be happy with, the way that I was playing, moving on the court, competing. But like I said, it's been a great summer. A lot of things to be thankful for, and you won't hear me over here pouting about how bad things are with, you know, the summer that I've had, the things that I've been able to do in this sport in a short amount of time, and, you know, the people that I got around me, like I said, a lot of blessings.
But yeah, man, that answer was so, like, I literally, it made me appreciate Shell and Evie even more, like, talking about the blessings, talking about, and he's right, it's like, yeah, like, it sucks what happened, but bro, I had a great summer. Again, it goes back to what I was saying, when people talking about Coco and everything, da-da-da, she won that slam. Ben Shelton won that 1,000 title. There's 1,000 of you guys. You guys, he win a 1,000 title, and he already won it. So it is a shame. It is sad, but it is what it is.
Sorry to cut you, but exactly. I love the answer too, because it just shows, like, obviously we're here to cover, you know, the US Open and, you know, players winning and losing. But bro, it's just sport, man. Like, it's not that deep. It really isn't that deep.
Yeah.
And like, I love how players can have like that kind of perspective, like after a tough loss. Like, because ultimately, exactly, he's gonna be fine. He's gonna wake up tomorrow. Of course, it's gonna hurt for a while.
Yeah.
But literally, next week is, you know, the start of a new tournament.
Start of a new tournament.
Like, so.
Do you reckon he will pull out of Labour Cup?
So what I was gonna say, I don't know. I think he'll play Labour Cup. I say quite like, you've got to look at the positive or look for the positives in these kind of situations. Going out early at a major, like, you're going to have a bit of time off. So that can't be a bad thing.
Yeah, I think for Shelton, though, it will sting because it's the home slam.
Of course.
I remember why I say it as well. I think one of the reasons why US Open is so, is because, bro, there's no slam till literally... February.
It's
the last slam, so it's the last one where you can get the biggest title of like your career and stuff, and you're at home.
Nah.
And for Americans as well, it's tougher because that's why, for example, I can see why it's completely different. I can see why for Haley Baptiste, for players like Haley Baptiste, where it hurts more because you have such a great time elsewhere, and then you come home,
yeah, and it's not
and
the
it's
same.
Like,
yeah,
ah, yeah, it's not the same. Do you get what I mean? So there's that as well. You have all the fans waiting, like, yeah, we'll be sitting down, putting up 5 a.m., 3 a.m., watching you winning this, and then you come home and you're out. Obviously, the fans don't understand, but you get what I mean? Like, for the players, it stings more. And then on top of that, someone like Shelton, where you are everyone's favorite.
Mm.
Fritz, him, Francis.
Tommy Paul. Mm. They're the guys.
Mm. Americans are not like, they're the guys. Like, I saw Shelton going deep, man. Like, he was my number one outside of them two guys. I don't want to let anyone else fucking win. Excuse my language. But do you get what I mean? But it is what it is, man. A massive shout out to Shelton. You had a great summer, as you said.
Recovery.
Same as our boy, after your feast, just recover, man. Like, at the end of the day, that's more important, which is why your dad was telling you, get the heck out of
that
court. Because you don't want an injury where it's affecting you for the rest of your life, where you can't play for the rest of your life. You're better off not knowing how to play. Yeah,
exactly.
For the season.
Yeah.
Listen, we've got Turin. And Eugene, where's the last time we had a black player in the ATP finals?
I was just going to say, of course, it stings to be out of the US Open, but
he has a title to defend. I can't remember which title. I keep fucking forgetting. He has a title to defend. He has some tournaments left for like Asia, and he has his ranking to protect because he's going to be, by the grace of God, in the ATP, you know, finals. And we have not had a black player in that position
since Felix. Yeah.
Yeah, in a minute. Do you get what I mean? So it'll be nice to have that. So you're better off not knowing. Like, listen, and he's still young. This is what he's
22 years
like,
old.
Bro,
like, come on.
You're going to have a lot of slams. But yeah, speedy recovery to our boy Shelton. You guys know. I was about to say that's our N word, but I can't.
He'll be all right, man. He'll be all right. But yeah, man, just rest up, please.
Rest up. Up next.
Another tough one. Two-time semi-finalist. Big foe, Francis Tiafoe. 17th seed this year. So yeah, he lost out to Jan-Lennard Struff, the German qualifier. Again, and like, tennis fans will know the name Struff. Like, he's not like a nobody, basically.
He isn't, boy.
Been as high as like top 30. a good player, basically. But yeah, he was a qualifier, like I said. He did beat Holger Rune in the previous round. Rune was the 11th seed.
Did he beat him in straight sets? Oh, you don't know.
I don't know, but it was a win against a top seed, or one of the top seeds anyway. So confidence is very high. Coming through qualifying, he's got matches under his belt. And today, Lucy, against TFO, he was just too good, man. Like, honestly, that's all I kept saying. Too good. Too good. So
yeah, because you watch most... I only came for the last set.
Yeah.
Yeah, the last set, yeah.
Everything he was doing was just like... To be fair to TFO, he wasn't completely on it. So I'm going to... And okay. credit to him as well, because I don't think he's going to make that excuse.
No, he said it himself in his press.
Yeah.
He was like, listen, I don't know what happened in there, but I was not playing like my best there at all. Like he put his hands up.
But to Struff's credit, he just kept on and on and on. Like, and I was like, there's no way he's going to be able to keep this level up. Like, there's absolutely no way across three sets. Like,
and then only for him.
This is what I'm saying to you. Like, and that's what I'm saying. He deserves a lot of credit because he did get tight. Like, he did serve for it.
He served for it, and then I think the nerves came.
Kind of choked a bit.
Choked.
Which is fine. And then I was like, oh, good, we're in now.
We're in. And that was intense.
Oh, man.
I was watching the match like this. I was like that. And then I was like...
It was crazy.
It was crazy.
Grandstand as well. It's a weird court, man.
It's
I don't know.
And,
I don't know if I like it.
Tiafoe was saying, like, yeah, he...
I don't know if I like Grandstand, man.
He wasn't really feeling the condition in Grandstand. I think it would have been a different ball game if that match was in Louis.
Well, Louis
Maybe
Armstrong.
Louis Armstrong. Sorry, guys. We've been seeing your comments. We're getting there. Bear with us.
I'm just going to say Armstrong from now on, basically.
Please correct me in the next pod. This pod is Honeydew Stop. Sponsored by Honeydew Stop.
No, we're not. But anyway.
but yeah, as I was saying, if he was in another court, I think it would have been a different ballgame because he did talk about the condition in Grandstand. He was saying that the court is like slower. Like, it just isn't comfortable for him.
It's a lot more louder as well. Like, you hear a lot more of the road traffic, which is irritating.
I don't think Francis is the type of player that bothers him, though.
There was a point where he did pause.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because there was a siren going. Not a siren. Someone was letting off their horn. And it was weird because he was serving at that point. I can't remember what the score was. But even the crowd were laughing because it was like the timing of it was just like too uncanny.
Mm-hmm.
And it did kind of put him off because he stopped. He was bouncing the ball, about to throw it up. And then the horn goes off and he stops. And then, you know, catches the ball to throw it up again.
Yeah.
So I feel like that kind of, I don't want to say that's an excuse, but yeah, you don't get that on Armstrong or Ash. But because it's like such an open kind of court, you hear so much of like the ambience, like around the grounds.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be unsettling. Like, but yeah, today I'm not a fan of Grandstand, man. It's been a graveyard for Blackspin Global. Like, first Paolini, then Tout, then
yeah.
Tier. I can't. But no, Struff was, like I said, man, too good. Mm. I don't want to kind of, I say dwell. Like I said, TFO wasn't on it. Like, so.
No, he said it. He said he wasn't on it.
But I'm not saying that's an excuse.
No, it's not an excuse. He wasn't on it, but he gave credit to Struff. But I even asked him, like, as well, because, you know, if you guys remember, he pulled out Cincinnati because of, like...
His back.
And I asked him, like, yo, like, you know, you had the tape and all, like, did that also affect it? And he was like, no, like, honestly, I don't even want to put even blame, like, into that. Like, it is what it is.
And
like,
I love that about him.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah. That's the thing about TFO.
No
excuses.
When
he knows he hasn't played well, he will say it straight. But he did say... this loss is 100% going to be one of the hardest losses for him to get over with. Like, he's like, he literally said, like, I don't know how I'm going to get over this. To be honest with you guys right now, like, I don't know. Because it was just an early exit. Mm. Like, I don't think anyone expected TFO to leave in a round three, despite how his season went. We all know how US Open is
for him.
He brings
it, US Open, man.
So, yeah, it is unfortunate, but we just keep going. I still believe Francis can win the US Open.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely. You guys could call me delusional, could call me crazy. I generally believe this guy can actually win the US Open. Don't care. Honestly speaking, like, the way he plays when he's here is just completely different. It's like a different ball game. And I think again, I feel like he doesn't really get, I've said it before, I don't think he gets a lot of credit for his tactical game. Like, today was a bad day, not off his call, but overall, France is actually a really good player. Like, you guys can't take that away from him. You can talk about the concentration, you can talk about whatever.
Tennis IQ is high as hell.
Tennis IQ is high, but he's a great player. And then when he comes here, he's a different ball game. So when would that time come? I don't know. But do I believe that he could? 100%.
I mean, like, he's 20. He's 27. Like, so he's still young. Of course, yeah, he's not as young as like a Shelton or Alcaraz, Sinner. But again, he's proved it. He makes deep runs at the US Open. So it's not an impossibility.
Yeah.
For him to win it one time, 100%. Like, or two. Like, we'll see. But he's always going to be a contender when he comes to the US Open. That's just a fact. That's just a fact. For so. Sure. Yeah, tough one today for Francis.
But honestly, today, with the type of matches that we had, I genuinely felt like every match was going to be tough. I just didn't. The only one where I wouldn't have been too surprised about the loss was Paolini.
That's what I said.
Yeah, that's what I said as well.
Yeah.
You said that as well.
I was like, that's going to be, that for that me, was, that's the upset.
Yeah. But everyone else, I thought it was going to be a 4-5 setup, but we were going to win.
Exactly.
That was that was my thing.
Mm.
Even Taylor Townsend, the women's matches were the ones where I was a bit skeptical. Scared, basically, exactly. Mm. But the men's, I was like, okay, it'll be a long match,
but we're good.
Yeah. But it went, but today just shows to you that, guys, tennis is one sport that makes no bloody sense, because I don't think anyone expected both Shelton and Tiafoe to be out on the same day.
But third round.
Either way, it is what it is, man. We keep going. Well done to the fellas. Well done to Paolini, but most importantly, well done to Taylor Townsend.
Whew.
You have been grinding for time, and we've been praising you and telling
people. Go on, TT.
All of you people that have not been here yet, get to the back of the line. I know some of you guys have been dying our girl. I know some of you guys have been dying our girl.
Step to the back.
Step to the back. We started this. We started this. Step to the back.
Oh, all
right?
God.
And for the new ones, welcome in it. And don't run away. Facts. Don't go. You stay right here. And a massive, massive shout out to Coach John, man. Honestly, this year, seeing the black coaches doing their thing.
Huge. And how cool is he as well on the box? Like, he is just...
He's like this. Coach John is like that.
Just,
and then he claps like that.
Just. But again, that plays into how she's playing. Like, she...
Hi.
Oh, hey. Take care, man.
Yes. but like, he was there with like class, doing well, you know. But honestly,
she feeds off that as well. she definitely feeds off that.
For real, she does.
Because it's a calm.
To be honest, her old camp just being all black and her boxing after Ash Stadium. What are you telling me, man? It's hard. But not honestly, like, seeing Brian Shelton, Franklin, Coach John. Like, honestly, it's a big thing. I think I don't think people like honestly like realizes it. So yeah, massive shout out to the team. And yeah, who do we have tomorrow?
Tomorrow, I don't actually have the rundown, Lucy, but I just know from the top of my head.
Okay.
It's Coco Gauff. So
you're going to be watching alone because she's opening Ash.
She's opening Ash. Who is she playing?
She is playing
Magdalena Freck. That's it.
Yes.
Polish seed. I don't know what her seeding is, but she's a seed.
And then we have Naomi Osaka second on Louis Armstrong.
Well, just Armstrong, but yeah.
Kazatskina.
Barrier.
And then in the evening, same stadium, we have Zverev versus Felix, who's our only guy left.
Crazy.
So yeah, guys, make sure you tune in and enjoy the tennis. I shall come back tomorrow. More professional.
Sobered up.
I would like to publicly apologize to my boss.
Relax. You're good.
Who was like, this junk girl. But I pushed through.
As usual.
I'm not fired, guys.
Relax.
I'm still here.
Thanks for tapping in, guys.
See you tomorrow.